University at Albany, day number two and practice number two of Giants training camp. The weather was a little shaky earlier today, but as you can see, the sun has come out and it is beautiful here in upstate New York. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. I'm John Schmelk. Welcome to the show. You can listen on Giants.com, of course, or on the mobile app. You can stream it live there as well. Today, we're joined by Michael Eisen, beat reporter from Giants.com. Michael, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. It looked like the practice was in danger today. The clouds opened up with about 10 minutes to go, but they got the full practice. And right on this field behind us on the Albany lacrosse field, because it's turf.
Yes, the threat of rain made them move to, for the first time ever, on the turf field. It worked out. We got the whole practice in, and the last 20 minutes or so, as you mentioned, was in the rain. It was kind of nice, I thought, practice in the rain. Maybe it'll help him down the road a little bit.
Now, obviously, Coach doesn't like to practice on the turf. He'd prefer to be on the grass, but this is a much better option than what they've had to do in years past, which is do a walkthrough inside the gymnasium, which he hates.
Well, yeah, and very much so, because you really can't get anything done when you're walking through. I don't know what he would have done had it been raining hard prior to practice. I don't know if he would have had an entire practice in the rain out here. You run the risk of injury, but with only 15 practices, Tom Coughlin's doing everything he can to stay on the field for each practice.
And it's not so much the rain that'll cancel a practice, it's more the danger of lightning, because then you're not only endangering the players, but our great video department, Carmen Pisano, Dave Maltese, is up in those metal towers. That can be very dangerous.
Well, that's the first concern, I think, always, is how's Carmen going to get through this?
But,
he does worry, I think, about the threat of injury with rain, you know, guys slipping, pulling a hamstring, things like that. So thankfully it worked out today. Got 13 more to go here.
And we saw in the stadium field yesterday a lot of big divots and guys were hitting the ground a lot, and you do get some injuries. All show long, we'll take your calls. The phone number, 518-437-3774. Again, 518-437-3774. Or you can send in your questions on Twitter to hashtag GiantsChat. All right, Michael, let's talk about what happened at practice today. First things first, it was great to see Terrell Thomas back on the field. He missed practice number one with a sore back. His knee seems to be okay. He lined up with the first team this afternoon.
Yeah, he said after the practice yesterday that his back just tightened up and that he would be out there today. He kept his promise. It was great to see him out there running with the first team. You know, he and Corey Webster are the first team cornerbacks, obviously, but the Giants right now have about 10 very good cornerbacks, and that's going to be an interesting job battle throughout camp, I think.
And we'll hear from Jerry Reese later on in the show. He spoke today with the media about Prince Amukamara and how he wants him to play like a first-round pick this year and possibly challenge for that starting job. But in my opinion, it's going to be awfully tough for him to pass Terrell Thomas on the depth chart.
I agree with you, and I talked to Prince myself today, and he very much wants to earn a starting job, and I think, frankly, it'll be something no one wants to see, which is an injury to one of the top two for him to start.
And we saw Terrell Thomas line up against Victor Cruz, and it seems like every play Victor Cruz makes, the guy can sneeze out there, and the crowd goes nuts chanting Cruz.
Well, he did sneeze, and he did get a Cruz. So, you know, it's funny, he has become, I think, behind Eli Manning, the second most popular Giant. I don't even think it's a contest anymore. We had autograph day here after practice today, and he was mobbed, and a lot of fans had copies of his book. Fans were yelling at him in Spanish and English, so he's very popular. As we saw early in practice, the offense was running a drill. There was no defense on the field. He made a nice catch. Wasn't a great catch, and the crowd erupted as if he just scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl again.
The only crowd I saw bigger than Cruz's was yours.
Well, yeah, it was pretty much a mob scene around mine, yeah. I wasn't signing anything, but it was still a mob scene.
By the way, you will see on Giants.com an article from Mike about Victor Cruz later on today. Make sure you go and check that out. One other good thing you saw in practice today was a couple of the wide receivers making some plays. First, Jarrell Jernigan beat Corey Webster deep on a deep fly pattern down the sideline. And Ramsey's Barron, I thought, did a really good job using his size on a couple slant routes, beating smaller cornerbacks.
Yeah, they were both very noticeable in practice. You know, I would reserve judgment on each of those guys. I think they can be very good players, but and certainly you and I have had this Ramsey's Barron discussion many times, John.
Too many times.
Over the years. He's flashed in practice. He's never been able to transfer that to the game. Jernigan did not catch a pass as a rookie last year. I think it's great that they're making plays in practice, but let's reserve judgment until we see them do it in the game.
The phone number, once again, 518-437-3774, 518-437-3774, or you can send in your questions on Twitter to hashtag GiantsChat. Mike, there was some injury news today. Not really. We knew he wasn't going to practice. That's Chris Canty. He was on the PUP list, but he did speak to the media. And boy, you didn't hear a whole lot of optimism coming out of there. I'm not going to say there's no chance you're going to see him, but I wouldn't say there's a great chance he's going to play in week one based on how he sounded and what he said to the media today at lunchtime.
Yeah, I would agree with you, John. I thought it was a pretty sobering assessment from Chris Candy, particularly since in the spring he sounded so confident that not only would he be ready for the season opener against Dallas, but he would be practicing up here. And even Tom Coughlin said it's going to take a while. That's obviously a very ambiguous term. I don't know what a while is. But
I think it's purposely ambiguous, yes, Mike. You know how a coach works.
But Chris, was asked specifically about the Dallas opener. He said, boy, it's one game I wouldn't want to miss. But obviously made it seem as if it's a possibility, a very strong one, that he could miss that game.
Now, luckily for the Giants, they do have a lot of depth there. They have Linval Joseph, who's played that position a bunch. It's his third year, a young veteran. Then you have veterans like Sean Rogers, Rocky Bernard, and a second-round pick from last year, Marvin Austin. So they do have a lot of bodies there to step in, even if they might not be as accomplished as Canty.
Yes, they do have bodies. I'm not sure yet. I would say it's a lot of depth yet. Let's see how Marvin Austin does. He hasn't played since 2009. Marcus Kuhn, the seventh-round draft pick, is another possibility. Bernard has been playing with the first team in Canty's absence. It's a lot different, I think, going from spot duty as a reserve to a starter. So let's see how he handles the increased load.
A couple other injuries I want to touch on. First, JPP went down at one point during practice. They grabbed his ankle, to everyone's relief, especially the coaching staff. He got up, shook it off, finished practice, no problems there, right?
No, that was he seemed to be, knock on wood, fine.
But Justin Tretow and, of course, Darrell Scott, they're both battling ankles. We're not quite sure about them yet.
No, Darrell didn't work today. Maybe in one of those big divots we saw yesterday, hurt his ankle, and it was very swollen today. No sense risking anybody on the second day of camp. Tretow was sent for x-rays. We don't have the results yet.
Two other plays in practice I want to bring up. First, Steve Weatherford ran, I should point out, a planned fake punt, and the crowd got all excited. Mike, play the Vegas odds maker for a second. Chance we see that in a regular season game.
John. I would be very surprised. The Giants have not run a successful fake punt since 1988. So why don't we wait till next year and celebrate that 25th anniversary of no fake punts? And if you're asking me what I think, no, we will not see a fake punt in the game this year.
Mark Herzlich, he's been on the field with the second team, playing that middle linebacker spot, made a pick today, and he really seems to be on his P's and Q's, always, if not making a play, in the right position and almost making a play.
Yeah, Mark Herzlich, to me, although he was undrafted and Prince was a first-round draft choice, is almost in that same category as Prince Amukamara, a second-year player who believes he has gotten much better, worked very hard in the offseason, and is determined to unseat a veteran ahead of him and earn a starting job. In Herzlich's case, it's Chase Blackburn, and he thinks he's going to give him a run for his money.
All right, the phone number again, 518-437-3774, 518-437-3774, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Send in your tweets, and we'll get to your tweets right here on the air, live on Giants.com and on your Giants mobile app. Now, all the players Mike just mentioned were brought in by Giants general manager Jerry Reese. Every year when training camp begins, they have an opportunity to address the media, welcome the fans, and welcome everybody to training camp. And Jerry Reese did that today, earlier at the University at Albany.
Okay, welcome to training camp, guys. All's quiet, and we're happy to be back here in Albany. Always good to us here, and I think our players and our team, our coaches, everybody's excited about being here, and we're looking forward to all the big challenges that we have this season. Obviously, there's been some changes, and but I think they're good changes. And it's team, like all teams, have to gel and get some continuity with each other. And we have a good nucleus of players coming back, so we feel good about where we're at. It's all quiet right now.
Jerry, in talking, I think it was Antrell, the way to said it first yesterday, that it doesn't seem like there's any Super Bowl hangover. He made it clear that last year is last year and this year is a new season. Does that make you happy to know that these guys have a kind of a whole new mindset and they know the focus?
Well, I think we have some veteran players on this team who understand that, last year is last year and it's over with. And so it's time to move on. We've moved on from that. It's huge challenges for us this season, but there's challenges every season and we look forward to it.
Jerry, just 14 practices left here. How much of an assessment and an evaluation can you make in just that short?
Well, everybody's in the same boat, so it's a quick assessment of your team, but players have to make their mark pretty quickly in the preseason games and here in practice. So, we're everybody else. Everybody's in the same boat, so we have to evaluate just like everybody else has to do it.
And after today, there's only 13 practices left, Mike. And obviously, like Jerry Reese said, a very short time now to evaluate these guys. They learn during the walkthroughs, but can you evaluate players during these walkthroughs?
If you can, it's only really from a mental standpoint, I think, how much they've grasped. Did they take what they learned in the meeting? Can they execute it on the field? But obviously, from a physical standpoint, no. And that's one of the things I wonder about at this new schedule. Without two-a-days, you're in pads so infrequently now. Training camp just isn't as physical as it used to be when they had two-a-days, when you were in pads all the time. And I wonder if down the road that's going to affect, you know, the quality of play in the NFL.
And one guy that's thrilled about all that is Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. He doesn't like the practice at all. But seriously, he knows they have to take advantage of the time they have on the field and those walkthroughs. The coach addressed the media earlier in the day.
Well, that certainly is a little different approach. We did that last year, and we had a few other things to contend with last year, hurricanes and tornadoes and that kind of thing in preseason. We were able to overcome all of that and had a pretty good start. I think the thing that we're trying to emphasize with our team is that if you notice how the CBA states some of this stuff, they call it two practices. It isn't two practices, but I think the emphasis becomes on the jog through, the walkthrough aspect of it. And that really has to take the place of a practice for every team. So those have to be sharpened, the focus, the concentration, the pressure that people put on themselves to perform in the classroom and then in the jog-throughs. It's not like it was when we had separates within practice or jog-throughs before two practices where guys could kind of, put themselves in a going through the motion mode. That's not the case here anymore. You have to take full advantage of everything that you possibly can, one of those being a jog through, which is in the place of a walk through, which is in the place of a practice.
Now, Mike, you got to wonder how this limited time on the practice field is not only going to affect team chemistry and ability on the field, but the individual development of these young players, especially the guys that are drafted in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, the undrafted guys. Are they going to get enough time on the field to earn a spot on the roster, to get better to the point where they can get on the field? To me, these are the guys that are being hurt the most by the CBA.
I agree, John, and I would just back it up even further to a guy like Adrian Robinson, the tight end from Cincinnati, yeah, who was drafted. He missed most of the spring work to complete his classroom obligations at the University of Cincinnati. Mike Pope, the tight ends coach, would have liked to have gone out to Cincinnati after the offseason program to work with him for a few days. The new CBA disallowed that. So a guy like Adrian Robinson, he comes in very green. And now we have, I think, six tight ends in camp now. How many reps is he going to get? How much time is he going to get in a preseason game? I think that's an excellent point, that these young players, these lower-round draft choices, these rookie free agents, they're going to have less of an opportunity to show what they can do.
You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, and we are taking your calls at 518-437-3774. We have a caller calling in. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Jim with from Pennsylvania.
Jim, what's up, pal? How are you?
The question I had was, being that the tight end position is so important with Eli Manning running the offense, and obviously we're down with Ballard gone, Beckham out, Pascal very limited experience. Where do you? I think you said seven in camp right now, something like that. What is the plan? Is there a plan that they're going to unseat this guy? Do they know it's Bennett, or is it just, hey, it's open to any one of you seven? Go for it.
Well, I think theoretically it's open to anyone. Obviously, Martellus Bennett was a marquee free agent signing from the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's the first among equals. If Bear Pasco is going to play some tight end, Bear Pasco is the only one really who's experienced in the offense. Martellus Bennett's got to show that he can produce in this offense and can work with Eli Manning. I would say that Bennett and Pasco are probably 1 and 1A right now. Maybe Adrian Robinson is 3. Not really sure. That'll all sort itself out. But I think Martellus Bennett ideally will play most of the time at tight end.
All right, you can also send in your questions not only on the phones at 518-437-3774, but also on Twitter, the hashtag GiantsChat. Let's go to a question from Twitter. This comes in from Philip Castro. Do you feel there's a bigger chance of injury with the slippery field, Mike?
Well, I think there's always a bigger chance of injury with the slippery field. Players lose their footing. not so much with, I guess you can also, you get pulls and things like that, but you get players who slip out and upend another player. You can hurt your calf that way.
The coaches always yell, stay off the ground.
If you slip up and you go up head over heels, you're not going to be able to stay up. So, yeah, I think it definitely does, and I think that's the worry that Tom Coughlin has.
Let's go back to the phones. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Erin, and I'm calling from Long Island.
How are you? What's up?
I was actually calling to find out about Hakeem Nicks. Is he practicing full force, or is he just kind of taking it slow?
He's not practicing any force right now. He's on the physically unable to perform list. He's one of four players who are on PUP. He's not ready to practice. But he, unlike, for instance, Chris Canty, is very confident that he will be ready for the opener, and he expects to be practicing conservatively by mid-August. That's his estimation. Obviously, it's up to the medical staff, but he believes he'll be practicing in about 3 weeks.
Thanks a lot for the call. And, Mike, you got to figure they're going to take it easy with him, though. No reason to rush him back, re-aggravate anything. And we spoke with Paul Dottino about this on the show yesterday. For a guy that's had injury problems in the past throughout the year, you got to take his conditioning slow. You can't send him out there, have him go 100% that first time when he hasn't ran in 3 weeks. Then you risk having another injury that could set him back.
Yeah, and also this really ties into what we talked about earlier with giving other players an opportunity. The Giants know what Hakeem Nicks can do. They know what he'll give them when he's out on the field.
And he knows the system.
Yeah, he knows the system. He doesn't need to be. Yes, obviously Tom Coughlin will say, I want him out there for every practice. He's coming off a broken foot. You know, let him run around a few times, have a few practices before the opener. But his absence is an opportunity to see what some of these other wide receivers can do. You know, there's a way you can take advantage of these injuries, and that's what the Giants can do is, you know, look at some of these other receivers.
Now, Mike, one of the fun parts of training camp to me up here in Albany is that you get a lot of the national NFL reporters and media members coming here, checking out the team. Today, Sirius NFL Radio did their show here. Tim Ryan, Pat Kerwin, and Pat Kerwin joined us on Giants.com. He's an analyst for CBS Sports and, of course, Sirius NFL Radio. And I spoke to him about the New York Giants and their prospects for 2012. We're back here on Giants.com. My name is John Schmelk, and today's Giants Insider is Pat Kerwin of Sirius NFL Radio and CBS Sports. Pat, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. I love coming to Giants. First stop on the training camp tour. Why not start with the world champs?
All right, let's start with a pretty broad question then. Yep. When you look at this Giants roster and the team, do you see the team that was 7-7 in week 14, or do you see the team that had that six-game streak and won a Super Bowl?
I think it's closer to the team that was successful at the end, and I spent some time with Eli this morning. Very impressed with how calm he is and how he understands how he's got to get some young receivers ready to go here, but he's done that before. When Plax left and Amani Toomer retired, he was able to raise the receivers right. I know he's very focused on that. My concern here, but it's not as much as it is for other teams, is the lack of practice time these guys are getting. And I think in your case for the Giants, it's the offense. You're trying to break in a tight end, trying to break in a rookie running back, and you're trying to get a young receiver in Reuben Randall up and running while Hakeem's out.
Well, I should ask you then, the Giants' top two picks, obviously David Wilson in round one, Reuben Randall in round two. How quickly do you think these two players are going to be able to make an impact in what's notoriously a complicated Kevin Gilbride offense?
You know, I think the challenge is on Kevin. I think without Brandon Jacobs here and Bradshaw's history of not being able to go all the time, you're going to have to get David ready. So every good coach, and I've known Kevin since he was 20 years old, he will modify some things to make sure he can get David on the football field. And that probably is going to come in limiting some of the protection calls to get David on the field. But I also spent time with David this morning. I never knew he was a 53-foot triple jumper.
He's a great kid, too.
He's a world-class athlete, and you've got to get him on the field. I can't wait to watch practice today, see his hands. I want to see him catch the football. If he's comfortable catching the football, now you can get into scat protections, five men, and get him out, because he might serve a bigger purpose releasing out of the backfield free than standing in there trying to pick up a blitzer.
Now, once Nicks gets back, obviously you'll move Victor Cruz into the slot where he was so effective last year. Do you see Reuben Randall as that third guy that comes in outside, or do you see more of a veteran like Hickson taking that role early on?
I think early on. Now, Reuben's getting a lot of reps in practice, which is going to be great for this next 15 practices here in Albany, but at the end of the day, being ready, and Eli told me he thought he was farther along than a lot of young receivers that have come here before. But at the end of the day, I think the older veterans, that experience they have over the last few years are going to help them.
You mentioned bringing in a tight end. That's Martellus Bennett. Yeah. We don't know the physical talent this guy has. Could never put it together in Dallas. What does he need to do to become a more effective and consistent wide receiver?
You know, tight end. For me, you know, he hasn't proven that he's going to do it. And I found it a very interesting selection by the Giants to go out and get him. He really never had great production against the Giants. So is he the run-blocking tight end to create the edge, to get the running game going again, the 32nd-ranked running game, although I minimize that stat. I don't think it's important. I think he's going to struggle to be an impact tight end that Jake Ballard was for you. So there's an interesting project, but I would never challenge Jerry Reese, because every time I think he's made a crazy decision on a personnel group, and he's right every time. So can't wait to talk to him later today.
All right, quickly on the defense, Pat, before we say goodbye. We know about the defensive line. They can get to the passer. How about the secondary? They really struggled for the majority of the regular season, like the rest of the team, turned it on in the postseason. How do you think that a comeback this year, Terrell Thomas returning from that ACL?
First off, I think your team is about 60% sub defense, which means you're a nickel or dime, more nickel than anything else, because you're a good offense. You score points. People have to play three wides against you a lot. And that puts two things in play. One, your pass rush, which is why I think you had great success down the stretch. You played against really good quarterbacks in playoff games who really need that guy to lead their football team, Matt Ryan, et cetera. So here comes that giant pass rush. But getting Terrell Thomas back, Prince Amukamara is going to be your third corner. You'll be a good nickel team. Where I think I have a question is big nickel, three safeties. Deion Grant played 80% of the plays last year, and teams with these flex tight ends and backs that can come out of the backfield and be real receivers, you like to play some big nickel against them because they might run the ball as well. So replacing Deion Grant, that's a camp question. I'm going to predict Deion Grant's back.
I would not be surprised by that either. Final question in the division. Tough schedule for all the teams in the division playing the AFC North, NFC South. Do you see any team winning 11 games in this division? Are you going to have 10? Are you going to have two teams into the playoffs? Just one? What do you think?
I think, you know, when I had to do this for CBS.com, you know, preseason predictions are a joke in one sense. But when I looked at this division and your schedules, I could see two teams, 9-7, and then their head-to-head matchup breaking the tie.
I agree.
The division.
All right, Pat, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Pat Kerwin, NFL insider for CBS Sports and Sirius NFL Radio. He'll be up here doing a show today from Giants training camp up in Albany. We'll see you next time.
All right, Mike, obviously great stuff from Pat Kerwin there, and talking about really how tough the NFC East is. And we know how tough it is, how tough the schedule is for all the teams in the division, really, and the Giants with the toughest of all four. This is really going to be a dogfight as the season moves along here.
I think so. You know, last year the Giants won the division with a 9-7 record, the first time since the 1970 merger the NFC East champion didn't have at least 10 wins. Obviously, it was very difficult last year. I think it's going to be more so this year. Playing the AFC North, which had three playoff teams, the NFC South, which has New Orleans and Atlanta. Carolina's going to improve. I think the NFC East, everyone in the NFC East, is in for a real tough battle. And none more than the Giants, who also have to play Green Bay and San Francisco.
One of the other things Pat and I spoke about was the Giants rookies, David Wilson and Reuben Randall specifically. How quickly do you think these two guys can make an impact in what can be considered a pretty complicated Giants offense? How quickly can they prove to the coaches that they deserve to be on the field?
Well, I think they can do it quickly.
Do you think they will?
I don't know that. David Wilson, obviously, we talked about it a lot, John. Very quick, very explosive. The key for him is can he protect Eli Manning when he's called upon to pick up a blitzer? They're not going to let him on the field if he can't keep an opposing linebacker off the quarterback. Randall, I think, has a better chance. Just because the Giants, really have a spot at wide receiver. And now with, as we discussed, with Nick's down, he's going to have, I think, more reps in practice. So I think the number two draft choice has a clearer path to get on the field before the number one.
Now, Mike, one thing the Giants are trying to figure out in camp is whether or not they're more like the team that was 9-7 in the regular season, and really where they were 7-7 after 14 weeks, or the team that won six straight to win the Super Bowl. Eli Manning and head coach Tom Coughlin addressed that question earlier in camp.
How do you kind of displace complacency, knowing that you guys won this year and you want to, in all essence, you want to go back-to-back? How do you get rid of the complacency of it all?
Well, I think it's a desire to get better as a team. We know we got to improve. We were 9-7 last year in the regular season. That's not good enough. We were a better team than that. Obviously, we showed that throughout the playoffs. But we got to have that urgency, that consistency throughout the whole season, and play our best football for those 16 regular season games. So that's what we're gonna work on, and just keep grinding, staying hungry to get better, and to make sure we can have another successful year this year.
The fact that we did so well in the final six games, the fact we played so well in the fourth quarter, the fact that we did so many good things on defense in the playoffs, but when you pull out, as we do, the worst of best every year, and you look at the top, the real list of what we didn't do well, that's what we have to impress on our team in terms of things that they've got to be improved upon, because the comparison between the last six and the first 14 is, you just kind of shake your head.
And Mike, the Giants were a Jekyll and Hyde team. Are they going to come out like the team that couldn't beat the Redskins and got really smacked around by them in week number 15, or the team that won the final six and went to the Super Bowl, or are they somewhere in between the two?
Well, I certainly like to think they're going to come out like the team that won the final six games, and I think they...
So you're saying 16-0 and a run right to the Super Bowl, that's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. look, under Tom Coughlin, they've never been worse than 5-3 in the first half, and they're usually 6-2. I think the previous 8 years, I think they've been 6-2 five times. I don't see any reason why they're not going to come fast out of the gate. They always do under Tom Coughlin. The problem becomes after those, when the schedule gets tougher in the second half, it's more difficult to sustain. If they stay healthy, though, I think that they've got the talent to do that this year and play well from start to finish.
All right, let's go to our phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air with Michael Eisen and John Schmelk. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Good. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Eric in Los Angeles.
Eric, what's on your mind today, my friend?
I'm talking about middle linebacker. We got a lot of – I haven't seen depth like this in linebackers in a long time, but we got an issue with the middle linebacker. I really like Blackman. And I see we brought in Rivers. I heard some conversation from our GM that possibly he would take Boley and move him into middle linebacker. So what's going on there?
Well, right now it's Chase Blackburn's job to lose. He's a very smart veteran, and as we saw last year when he came in late, he can still play at a high level, made the biggest defensive play of the Super Bowl in that interception of Tom Brady's long pass. But he's got some good young players behind him. And Mark Herzlich and even Greg Jones, who people forget started the season opener last year. I don't think that Michael Boley will be moved to the middle. I think he's too valuable on the weak side. I think if anyone's going to move, it might be Keith Rivers, player we acquired in a trade with Cincinnati. But I really think that those, most of all, Blackburn and Herzlich are going to be able to show what they can do first. And if the coaches aren't satisfied toward the end of the preseason, perhaps they'll move somebody in.
Mike, we're running out of time. I want to squeeze in one Twitter question before we say goodbye, and that's from Anthony M. He was watching practice today, obviously up here in Albany, I would assume,
okay,
or using some type of spy technology we're not aware of. He was catching everything. Will Isaiah Stanback make the New York Giants roster?
I think Isaiah Stanback is a legitimate dark horse. He has some NFL experience. He's got good size. He was very impressive on the practice squad last year. He's fast, he's big, and he is another player that we've talked about this a couple times in this show, that without Hakeem Nicks here, he's going to get more reps than maybe he wouldn't have previously. So I think he is a long shot, but I think he's a legitimate long shot to make.
Anybody else jumping out to you early on in camp?
Early on in camp, we've had just two practices. The guys you mentioned earlier, Barden and Jernigan, I think we were all anxious to see what they could do. Michael Coe, I thought, in the first practice, he stepped in and played on the first team for Terrell Thomas yesterday, and I thought he did very well.
Yeah, and he's a guy that has a lot of speed and a lot of experience. And, we mentioned reps with these limited practices and potential weather problems. Defensive back is a position where it's really going to affect these guys. You have so many players. Bruce Johnson, Bing, yeah. Tryon, Coe, Terrell Thomas, Webster, all these guys. Are there enough reps to go around for these guys to prove themselves?
I don't know. I think there are 10 cornerbacks. I don't know if there are enough reps for 10 cornerbacks, but I thought it was telling that Terrell Thomas was unable to practice on the first day, and wasn't Prince Amukamara, the first-round draft choice, wasn't Jaron Holsley, the third-round draft choice this year. It was Michael Coe. So that's a testament to both how well he played before he was hurt last year and how well he performed in the spring. So it's going to be a real dogfight at cornerback in this camp.
Prince did make an early big play, though, in that first practice. A big interception of David Carr. I think he was covering Ruben Randall on the play, caught the interception on the sideline, got his feet
in. Down the right sideline.
And it's great to see anything out of Prince after really what was a lost rookie year.
Absolutely. And I think, John, big plays like that, I think, are going to be the difference, both in playing time and down, further down, who's going to make the roster and who's not.
Michael, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
And everybody out there, thank you very much for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark right here on Giants.com. It comes your way every day after practice at 5:30, not only on Giants.com, but also on your Giants mobile app, which you can download on iTunes, your Android Play Store, you name it, go and get it. Check it out while you're on the go. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back with you tomorrow, live from Albany. We'll see you then.